This is In My Gay Opinion with Trinity Black.
And Trinity Dixon.
And we are back with another piece of media of some kind that would be better if it was about gay people. Or just are incredibly gay-coded. Well, I mean...
That's pretty good. I mean, yeah.
Okay, guys, so we lied in the intro because Trinity D is not here today.
It's Matt C.
We have me, Trinity Black, and our guest host, Matt Conkling.
Hi, guys.
I said mast.
Mast Conkling.
Yep.
I mean, fitting for our theme today, mast, yep. Talking about boys liking boys.
Yeah. Mask.
Mask,
not
mast.
What I said, but...
Hey, you know what?
But still... Yeah.
It works.
So our theme for today is we're going to be talking about Spider-Man in general. Spider-Man.
Just Spider-Man.
Yep.
But more specifically, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. Does whatever a spider can. Kiss a boy. Sure, why not? But I also think girls are
girls
hot.
Girls are hot.
Fun.
Yep. So it said that is the, I don't know how viral tweet it was, but it was a relatively viral tweet.
I feel like it was pretty
tweet.
Viral.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was fun.
I feel like I saw it a lot more than, like, I saw it more than once. I saw it probably once or twice a week, like, just retweeted.
Yeah, I mean, it was funny. It made sense. It was gay
it
culture.
Did. It,
so, of course, yeah. The tweet that we are talking about, leading into this a little bit, is a tweet, let's see, by user at WizWoes. WHIZZWHOZZ?
Incredible.
Which Wiz Who's, maybe?
Wiz.
Either way, it's something. They and they did that after quoting the tweet that was Peter cuffs his jeans. Y'all know what that means. a photo of Tom Holland as Spider-Man wearing cuff jeans.
Cuff jeans, is that a beanie?
That's his hat. That's not his hat. I mean,
oh,
that's
it's
his
a mask. His
yeah.
mask. I mean, there's layering, there's striped socks, there's cuffed jeans.
The striped socks and cuffed jeans, like, specifically.
That really does it for me.
Yeah, it's not even just that it's the cuffed jeans, but he also put on some slightly...
He put on fun socks.
Yeah,
and I feel like more than just, like, they have, like the Ralph Lauren, like, logo on them, fun socks, like, like stripes.
Yeah, stripes. Stripes. Classy, but fun.
Classy. I also saw another tweet that was a screen cap from... I forget which movie that Spider-Man was in where this was, but I think it was with Tony Stark. I don't know. Maybe an Avengers movie?
Okay.
Possibly?
But like one with Tom Holland, at least.
Yeah, it was with Tom Holland. But it was him on his phone, just kind of with his feet dangling off a building. And the like color blocking and style of what was on his phone apparently looked like Grindr. So, and I don't think it was edited. I think it was like from the movie. So that also is
a little bit queer, a little bit off.
Yep. Off
that means straight men probably
perhaps?
Don't do that kind of thing.
I mean,
probably.
You'd be surprised.
So we're also going to start off by reading back in 2015. To give them a little bit of a concession, what Sony's definition of a Spider-Man is, or Peter Parker, at least.
Oh, Sony.
Yeah. So, I said, we've come up and we've mentioned some of the different memes related to Spider-Man being bisexual a little bit, or Spider-Man not being a straight man, unlike many think. But
true.
We gotta say that technically, according to Sony, all Peter Parkers must be Caucasian and heterosexual.
Classic.
Yeah, his Peter Parker character traits. Depiction of Peter Parker or a Spider-Man alter ego must conform to the following character traits. His full name is Peter Benjamin Parker. He is Caucasian and heterosexual. His parents become absent from his life during his childhood. But which, of course, side note ahead of time, as with all of our episodes here, there is a spoiler warning.
Yes.
In case you did not know much about the character of Spider-Man, we will be spoiling his general character.
Right.
Yep. From the time his parents become absent, he is raised by Aunt May and Uncle Ben in New York City. He gains his powers while attending either middle school or college. He gains his powers from being bitten by a spider. He designs his first red and blue costume. The black costume is a symbiote and is not designed by him. He is raised in a middle-class household in Queens, New York, and he attends or attended high school in Queens, New York, and he attends or attended college in New York City, New York. And those are the defining Peter Parker character traits, according to 2015 Sony.
Those are just so specific and, like, weird. Like, yeah. Like, goes to school in New York. Like, that's a very specific, and I feel like not...
Like, some of these are definitely, you have to keep the story of Spider-Man straight.
Right.
But some of them are like, you have to keep the story of Spider-Man straight.
Yeah. Oh. Oh.
Yeah. So, but it doesn't mention this in here, although I would also say it's pretty essential to the Spider-Man character, that his Uncle Ben dies. And yeah. That's what inspires him to become a superhero. And after he gets his actual, like, powers. And
yeah.
To use his great power comes great responsibility.
And great use of spandex.
Yep.
And suits. Spandex suits, specifically.
Yeah. Because as with many superheroes, it's... although, unlike many superheroes, he does make them himself in most of them.
Yeah. But Okay. Apparently he only makes the blue and white one.
The blue and red one. He designs his first red and blue costume. Blue and white.
I am blue and white. I don't know why I was... What was I? Oh, I was probably thinking of Captain America.
Maybe.
Blue and
white.
I don't know. Blue, white,
very
and
different,
red.
But yeah.
Blue and red.
All American boys.
All American boys.
Okay, so that's the general character of Spider-Man, but who kind of defines more of that character in depth, honestly, is entirely up to who's writing him and who's playing him. That Spider-Man has been played by 3 different actors in the last 20 years. And he has also been written and drawn in the comics by way more than that. So many more than people now. So
yeah.
We're going to... But part of our actual, not evidence, I guess, so much, but our comments on a non-straight Peter Parker
feelings.
come from the actors themselves, or at least 2 out of the 3 of them.
And also Stan Lee, I feel like. Too. There's a bit of Stan Lee who his comments have, I feel like, influenced our thought process in this topic.
Yeah, I would say so too.
But the 2 actors we're referencing are Andrew Garfield and Tom Holland.
Yes.
Tom Holland being the most recent.
Yeah, Tom Holland's most recent is just kind of, I believe, I don't know what he specifically said, but he did in a general kind of manner say, you know what, I would be open to playing Peter Parker as a non-straight, as gay.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah.
And the more specifically we do, I'm going to find the actual quote here from Andrew Garfield. Because Andrew Garfield said, I think Spider-Man should be a bisexual man, and I want Michael B. Jordan to play MJ. And they killed him for it.
They did.
Yeah.
They really... booted him for that.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Tom Holland sauntered his little way in there, and he said, I'm Spider-Man!
Yeah, because he was still in the, it was still a Sony property when they made The Amazing Spider-Man, The Amazing Spider-Man 2, but it was also during the time of, you know, Iron Man had come out in 2008, so we were getting into the actual Avengers era of MCU and stuff.
Yeah.
The Marvel Cinematic Universe. But the actual quote here from Andrew Garfield, I believe during Comic-Con, this is from an Entertainment Weekly article, called Andrew Garfield and Spider-Man Sexuality. Why can't he be gay? And the quote is, I was kind of joking, but kind of not joking about MJ. I was like, what if MJ is a dude? Why can't we discover that Peter is exploring his sexuality? It's hardly even groundbreaking, so why can't he be gay? Why can't he be into boys? And like I said, he even had an actor in mind. I've been obsessed with Michael B. Jordan since The Wire. He's so charismatic and talented. It'd be even better. We'd have interracial bisexuality.
Which is important.
Yeah. So I said, Andrew Garfield has been on this train since like 2013.
I don't know. Is Andrew Garfield queer in any capacity?
Andrew Garfield is not an out man. I would say that he's not, but any comments contrary to that would be purely speculation.
Gotcha.
He has played gay characters and he has played straight characters that seem like gay characters, but Andrew Garfield on his own is just a weird straight man right now.
Amazing.
Yeah. He the most notable role of his recently that I can think of is that he played a feminine gay man in Angels in America on Broadway.
Oh yes, that's right. How did I forget about that? Yeah, what a good play.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And as far as I know, he should have won a Tony for that. So, brought it all out.
Yeah. Stan Lee, though, responded to that comment.
Yes.
His original comment, Stanley said, he's becoming bisexual. Who have you been talking to? Seriously, I don't know anything about that. And if it's true, I'm going to make a couple of phone calls. I figure one sex is enough for anybody. But later on, when he was asked whether or not he would be open to a queer or superhero of color, Stanley was actually pretty open to it. But under the circumstances of the fact that Spider-Man was already an established character and he didn't want to change what was already written and already established in the universe. So Stanley was open to a character that is,
to having characters that are actually gay or characters of color.
Right.
But in a general manner, he was like, no, Spider-Man's already straight.
Yeah.
Why would we do that? Which, right. We'll get into it later, but we do have arguments for why I believe, at least, it would be important to create already existing characters, and even if it means retconning certain things about them, I think it's important that we could use them to create more representation.
Exactly.
It's not the first time that they've taken things in comic book universes and gone, you know what, that's not true anymore. Something wildly different is true now.
Precisely. And I think, too, as well, like, and we'll get into this later, but, like, talking about, you know, different narratives and different storylines of queer characters and of characters outside of the very, like, hegemonic straight white male who is so often represented and so often plastered all over
so many projects. Iconic superheroes are a very generic white male, the archetype super strong man thing, which, like I said, obviously there is more depth to them than that, but a lot of the kind of idea behind it is that it's a male power fantasy, and most of the ways that can be fulfilled is by just having a big buff strong dude who can solve any problems.
Right, which Spider-Man, you know, deviates from.
Yeah, in a general way, Spider-Man deviates from that. He's, like, different, I guess, in the comics from other characters we kind of come across as, is generally Spider-Man is not portrayed as super buff, and, like, just one way of not having a stereotypically kind of masculine figure, I guess.
Yeah. As well as also being, finding more of his power in technology and intellect rather than
overpowering people physically.
Physical power, empowerment, financial empowerment, or any other sort of advantage that is not typically seen in the, you know, overarching masculine themes that we so often find.
Yeah. So I said, and we're going to kind of get into more specifically the differences between the comics and the movies, as well as actual different, our, you know, the little bit of what we have of gay evidence for Spider-Man in the actual comics and movies.
Gevidence, if you will.
The gevidence. Yeah, because that is a little bit less important to us than the actual kind of themes that would make Spider-Man a better character if he were gay. But we figure it's important to include what we found anyway.
Yeah.
For, you know, well-rounded reporting.
Let's get into it then, shall we?
Yeah. So, in terms of evidence of his relationships, specifically with other men in the comics and also in movies, but for me it's more specifically in comics based on what I found, because he has a longer history in the comics now. So, one of those major relationships that he has with other men, whether that is homosocial or homoerotic, is up to, you know, the viewer, of course, is with actually the Human Torch, Johnny Storm, which is also part of the incredibly funny canon of the Fantastic Four being made into a horrible movie back when superhero movies were just starting to become a big thing, which arguably the Fantastic Four was one of the biggest properties that Marvel had besides Spider-Man before they got more into the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
And now here we are.
Then they just kind of gave up on it after the one horrible movie.
Well.
But yeah, in the comics, his relationship with him is one of, like, best friends since basically, like, teenagers, kind of like both kind of dumb but they do stupid stuff together kind of like things,
which, if you identify as queer, you know that relationship has some other complexities if it is a certain circumstance.
Yeah, and there is one instance in the comics that I found kind of a that does relate to it in a more romantic light, but this is, of course, like, an incredible reach. It's just funny that they did this, I guess, is that Jessica Drew, who is one of the Spider-Woman characters, I believe, ends up actually kissing Johnny Storm in Ultimate Spider-Man 9, And she is basically Peter Parker, according to this Quora anonymous answer of the question, is there any evidence that Spider-Man Peter Parker is bisexual? A question I did not ask, because this person responded in 2015, so it's been a few years since it was asked. But their evidence is that she has the same biology and memories, and she's been raised the same as Peter, besides being a clone and a girl. So,
well, wait, hold on. I'm sorry. I have to play devil's advocate here. Just simply because, first of all, I am Caucasian, and that is the thing Caucasian people do, is they go, I'm going to play devil's advocate. But as a white man, I have to play devil's advocate.
I mean, you don't have to, but I get it, I guess.
I'm legally obligated.
In your position as a white man.
As the white man here in the room.
Okay.
If biologically she's a clone.
Yeah.
And Peter Parker is trans. Canonically a boy.
Yeah.
Then technically, yeah.
One or both. That's true.
Then technically that would fall in the LGBT category and
already.
Community. Already. Honestly. We've already found our first piece of evidence.
Yeah. I know that there was a minor thing, like some fan question, I think, that somebody asked the actors of, I don't know if it was after Homecoming or Far From Home, but it was one of the two in like the kind of just small mm-hmm. interviews where somebody was like, I think it would be fun if Peter Parker was a trans boy. And all the actors were like, yeah. And it was like, that's a cute like one thing where it wasn't like a big, like, oh, I'm specifically playing it like that. That's a great idea. But it was just kind of a one-off. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
I like that. So that, you know, I'm like,
I mean,
why not?
You know what?
Why not?
It's all in character development.
Yeah.
And that's especially why it's important about actors, because, I mean, who knows? Tom Holland could have crafted it that way.
But yeah.
I don't know.
This person's response to this whole thing is Jessica Drew, who is basically Peter Parker. There's four A's in that, basically. Kissed Johnny Storm, and he left and seemed to have a big crisis that reminded me a lot of how I felt when I realized I was gay. So
that?
I couldn't find any pictures of the actual comic, but that's a... That's a eyewitness account, apparently.
You know what? I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
And the other main relationship that's mentioned in general for Peter Parker with men is Harry Osborn, his best frenemy, the Green Goblin's son, / Green Goblin himself, depending on when you talk to him, I guess, in the story.
Fair.
Yeah. And they have an intense relationship. That I guess could be described in many ways.
a very nice sugar coat.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, it's not they. I don't know. I believe, based on what I remember from the few Peter Parker various Spider-Man movies that I've seen that aren't, you know, Homecoming and Far From Home, because mm-hmm. it's been a few years at least, is the relationship being like, yeah, they're friends, but. If Harry ever figured out that Peter was Spider-Man, he wouldn't feel so great about him anymore, because Spider-Man is who he blames for his dad's death.
You know, I feel like, just from what you were saying, that feels very similar to, like, we're friends and we mess around sometimes, but if I found out that you are who you really are, which is, in this case, a queer person, that wouldn't be too happy about that messing around relationship. I mean, you just got to replace the circumstances,
yeah.
And it makes a lot of sense.
I mean, they've definitely used the superhero as gay metaphor before in X-Men, things like that, the whole mutant thing.
Yeah.
There's, like, at least one scene that I know is specifically an homage to coming out to your parents in one of the X-Men movies.
Yeah.
So, you know, the whole superhero as queer identity in general, like, hiding part of yourself and putting on masks and things.
I mean, he keeps his suit in the bottom of a closet. How much more literal can you get?
I mean... You make a good point. All right. So that's the main thing about the comics relationships that I found, at least. And of course, as with most superhero rivals, they have a vaguely, you know, flirtatious one, especially Spider-Man, because he has his one-liners and stuff that you could kind of read into the quippy things that he says. All superheroes that have rivals have a vaguely homoerotic relationship with them.
And then to one up those quippy one-liners is, of course, Deadpool,
yeah,
who is canonically pan.
Yeah, canonically pansexual and canonically like half in love with Peter Parker based on literally all of the interactions they have in the comics.
True.
Yeah. So those are the main relationships that Peter Parker has that are, like, I don't know, actively mentioned as either part of his origin story or, like, Deadpool's stand out so much that they're hard to be ignored.
Yeah.
Yeah. Besides that, getting into the movies, he has Ned, who is his best friend and stuff, and they're cute. Like, I can see why people are like, aw, that's cute.
We ship that?
Yeah.
Canonically, we ship that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, like, at the same time, I always feel weird about Ned's character, because as much as I love him and his actor, he's taken from, like, the character of Ganke, I think, and who's Miles Morales' best friend.
Okay.
And is based, like, he's literally the same character. They just went, you know what, let's give Peter Parker a cool brown best friend instead of Miles Morales.
Yes. That, yeah. That lovely little...
Yeah.
Little...
So that they didn't have to repeat too much of the plots of the other five Spider-Man movie they've already made where he has a best friend in Harry Osborn.
That nice little cut and paste.
Yep.
The classic cut and paste. I mean, yeah, I think also movie-wise, I mean, there are so many... I think there are subtle differences that... You know, movie-wise, the casting of Spider-Man and Peter Parker varies from the comics a little bit. I mean, when you're casting a movie, you're essentially creating the aesthetic for a movie, and the character you choose and the actor you choose to play that character says a lot. Yeah. I think you, as a casting director, you have to, unfortunately, use social preconceptions about what masses of people assume about a character based on how they look from first glance.
And based on, like, the three different Spider-Men we've gotten in the movies, we have a different kind of view on Spider-Man in all of them, but they're all kind of fall into the same umbrella of, like, geeky, thin, white, twink.
Twink. Literal twink. Which, I mean, yeah. But, you know, and we were kind of looking at differences of how Tom Holland or Andrew Garfield or Tobey Maguire. Yes. Why did that leave me? Tobey Maguire look versus the comics, and they look less buff. And I mean, there are a multitude of
there's all plenty ranges of buff that in draw Hollywood. Comics, yeah. Too. So there's always going to be a little bit of variation there as well. But even among the comics, well, Spider-Man is certainly more lithe and less buff than some of the other, like, big buff superheroes, he's still, like, a buff dude in the way he's drawn.
But in the way that he's cast in the movies, he is, you know, more, or I would say less muscular and more, again, twinky.
Like, they do build up the muscles, and, like, I saw something about, like, Tom Holland being like, I had to bulk up to play Spider-Man, but it's still, like, with the same kind of acrobatics, mass in mind.
Yeah, yeah.
The way that fits the human body is just different,
too. Exactly. And I think, you know, part of that may be because people want to see a certain look from Spider-Man, just because Tobey Maguire originated the role film.
I feel like people have been pretty open to the different actors so far. I think
there
are probably reasonable criticisms for each of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, I would say that Andrew Garfield, as great of an actor as he is, was probably a little too old to be playing a high schooler in those movies.
Yeah.
And that Tobey Maguire was also kind of on the edge of that kind of a little bit too old thing.
But definitely looks younger than
he definitely
Andrew
looks
Garfield.
Younger. He just kind of has an old face for a young guy, in a way.
Yeah.
But he also just... most of us remember the third movie. Third Spider-Man movie. It was an entertaining movie, but no fault to his acting besides the fact that it was very silly at times.
Yeah. So, I mean, we just kind of found that the casting differences to be a little bit, you know, a little bit telling as to possibly what movie franchises wanted to say or didn't want to say but ended up saying about the character based on aesthetics and looks.
Yeah, if I had to say anything, then the character of, like, Peter Parker, in a general manner, has always been kind of like a Jewish character. And I would say that, maybe not entirely ethnically, but it is more obvious, I guess, with the casting decisions for both Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield more than it is with Tom Holland.
Mm-hmm.
But Tom Holland is also kind of a deviation from the character in general because they skip past a lot of the stuff that they've already covered in the five movies that already came out before he was introduced.
Right, and they've created new material, specifically about high school.
Yeah. And he, like I said, he looks definitely more like a high schooler than the other ones, which is a big step in the right direction.
Yeah, but I think that also, you know, brings us into marketing to their target audience now, which is, you know, Gen Z and millennials, I think. And those generations are typically...
Yeah, I feel like the Spider-Man movies in general have kind of morphed as comic book movies have morphed over time.
Yeah.
Because the Tobey Maguire ones were... if not the first, I think, big superhero movies. one of the first big superhero movies that were being put out in to a mainstream audience.
Right.
Because they had had other comic book movies before then, but maybe not to the same extent, or not as much so as maybe other ones, but...
Right.
It was definitely the beginning of that, and then that was definitely the whole, we're just going to tell the superhero story. Here's his origin story, here's how we get the powers, and here's the things, the villains he fights, his main villains.
Yeah.
And then, as we move on, and we have other superhero movies come out, and we kind of push that genre a little bit, then it kind of it opens more doors for other things to be covered, I guess.
Right. Yeah, and I mean... Speaking of more doors to be opened, I think now we should transition into, you know, why it's important to have queer superheroes and superheroes of color and the intersection of both.
The importance of just, like I said, earlier we mentioned how Stan Lee said that characters that are already established, especially in his mind, like he didn't see Spider-Man as being able to be gay or bisexual because that character has already been established as heterosexual.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that in real life, it's not nearly as cut and dry as I've been established to be straight, so now I can't not be straight again.
Yeah, and you know, this is a little bit out of topic of Spider-Man, but when I saw like Love, Simon, for example, which was very, very big in terms of representing a queer character.
In a mainstream cute rom-com.
Yeah. So the thing that I found was that it was a very clean... It was a very clean identity story.
Yeah.
And you know, it didn't really depict how a lot of people's experiences are where, you know, you go through life not really knowing that you're attracted to someone who would make you outside of the norm.
Yeah.
Or you know, what is considered normal.
In a general way, that's kind of like how I feel like it happened for me because
me too.
For me, like reading a bunch of general gay media, if you had to put it all under one umbrella term, all LGBT media, a common theme is that this person already knows they're gay.
Yeah.
They just can't tell anybody about it, and that's causing tension. But that wasn't how it was for me. For me, it was more like, I don't think I'm gay.
Yeah.
I've known people who are gay, and I've done thinking about it, and I was just like, man, I don't think I'm gay. I'm pretty sure I'm pretty straight.
Right.
And then it took me, like, years of going, wait a second. That was a little homosexual of me.
Now hold on just a second.
It took me years of being like, wait, that's what this feels like, and then actually being able to recognize feelings as attraction and going a long way towards, okay, I thought I was straight, but now I'm pretty sure I'm bisexual, and I just didn't realize that it was supposed to feel this way.
Even better, thinking that you're straight and then realizing that you didn't like girls at all. That it was all a ruse I'd been set up.
Wait a second, I tricked myself. How did I do that?
Yeah. So I mean, and while it is important to talk about how much of a struggle it is for people to come out when they do know, you know, it's also important
to
talk about
a whole other step even after I reached that point.
Exactly. Sometimes coming out to yourself is the hardest part.
Yeah. So it's not unrealistic to expect in media today for characters to think they're straight and then suddenly go, wait, I've done some thinking.
Hold on a second, that's a boy and I think he's kind of cute.
yeah. And if anything, we would argue that already major characters and franchises like Spider-Man and Marvel, like universes, it's not going to be a bad thing to take a character that's already major and popular and say kind of retroactively, yeah, this character is bisexual now, you know? We just didn't mention it.
Yeah, and I also think too is that if you make Peter Parker or Spider-Man bisexual or any identity that falls under the LGBTQ category, it's important that it's kind of coming out after the fact, where the selling point of Spider-Man is not that he's gay. It's not that he's, you know, someone who's not straight. The selling point is that he's a hero. And I think it's important to see stories that are based on... It's important to see queer characters and, in general, any minority character in a position where their identity is not their only personality trait or their only selling point. Like, you'll watch Spider-Man because it's Spider-Man, not because it's a gay movie.
Yeah. And that, I think, is also the big thing of gay media, is that it has to be under the umbrella of gay media, and it's rarely, this is a genre and we happen to have gay characters in it.
Yeah.
And that's always almost, infinitely more entertaining to watch than watching sad lesbians cry for the 100th time and then die or go back to marrying their husbands again at the end.
Yeah, I mean, a good example of this, again, off topic, but a good example of this it was the horror movie The Perfection on Netflix.
I haven't seen it, but I saw it in, like, searching through movies earlier.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really good horror movie, and the two main characters just happened to be queer and just happened to be in love with each other. You know, and it just, it wasn't about that. It was just there. And it was like, okay, this is the thing that is happening now.
And I think that that's, like, important, too, because we mentioned it in our episode with Captain Marvel earlier, our last episode. We're doing two superhero episodes in a row, so I hope you guys like superheroes. Next week, we won't do superheroes. Or maybe we will. You don't get to know until it happens. But we mentioned when we did that one is that, what did we mention? I got myself off topic. What was it you just said?
I was talking about how the two main characters just happened to be in love.
Oh, yeah.
In The Perfection.
For superhero movies now is that there aren't any gay characters in superhero movies now.
Yeah.
There are some gay characters in superhero TV shows. There aren't any main gay characters in superhero TV shows, like the actual superheroes themselves, right. Except for a few. I know Doom Patrol has a gay character or a few, and I know... And at least one trans character or non-binary aligning character. Yeah. And I know that there are other TV shows out there that have gay characters, but not as many superhero ones.
Yeah.
And there is no Marvel movie that has come out in the last 15... No Marvel movie that has had a gay character ever as a superhero movie.
Yeah.
Like... I'm not going to count characters that show up for 2 seconds, kiss their boyfriend, and leave.
Yeah.
And that's, it's,
like,
if it doesn't have an impact on the plot, and it's just the director making a cameo to be like, hey, I'm gay.
Yeah.
Bye. It doesn't make sense, and it doesn't count. I would rather you make a main character gay and have it make sense.
Yeah. Make it make sense.
Yeah.
I think as well.
It's so behind the times.
Exactly.
Like, our times are not that progressive, but that's still behind the times for our times.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking earlier about how, you know, Spider-Man has been and will always be
a progressive-ish
superhero because he's also an everyman character.
Yeah.
And because right now the everyman is someone who wants change.
Yeah.
Like us. And like you who are watching, I assume that, I hope.
Or listening.
Or listening. Watching. I mean, what are you watching? What are you watching right now?
Us.
Are you watching,
can you see
like
us?
People? Are you people watching?
Whatever you do when you're listening to podcasts, watch something.
Watch something and then you'll be watching.
Yeah, it's like, it's just that for Spider-Man's overarching theme of him being a person who's not in a position of power, who everybody he has to fight against is more powerful than him, puts him at a disadvantage. Like, one thing that I almost take issue with in the Sony description of Spider-Man we mentioned all the way back at the beginning is how they say that Spider-Man is from a middle-class family with his aunt and uncle, which is honestly not entirely true. He's more of a working class character. He's not rich. He's very honestly poor in most of the things, especially when he's the like college student living in an apartment by himself, barely scraping by to make rent and still be Spider-Man.
Right. But I do remember from earlier movies, and I'm forgetting which ones it was, but in earlier movies when we see Spider-Man, I mean, his parents' house was nice.
Yeah.
I mean that's what I remember. I'm forgetting which movie it was from, but I want to say it was Andrew Garfield, one of his movies. The parents' house was, I would say, middle class.
Middle class.
But I think in terms of...
That is also part of the whole Sony
thing. Exactly.
Too. Yeah.
Exactly. So I think, but as a character, as his personality is formed,
yeah.
he does appeal more to a scraping by, just trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I feel like, honestly, the Spider-Man movie that portrayed it the best, the one that I've seen, at least, that's portrayed the best, is Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
we get 40-year-old divorced Peter Parker, Peter B. Parker, and he's just also a very sad man living in an apartment by himself and crying in the shower in a Spider-Man suit.
You know what? That's a big mood.
Yeah, but he's also just like, It's definitely shown more that while his aunt still has in her nice house out in Queens and stuff, he, on his own, is not doing too hot.
Right.
And I feel like the character of Spider-Man is defined purely by the fact that he's doing his best, but he's not doing too hot.
Yeah.
He's kind of just struggling and he's trying his best.
Now, the one thing that I want to talk about, because you mentioned the Sony descriptions, mm-hmm. is how the Peter Parker description says that he has to be heterosexual. However...
Yeah, there's a different description for Spider-Man.
Spider-Man's description said that he couldn't be homosexual. That leaves out bisexuality. So, theoretically, if he puts on the suit, he could be bi.
So, the Spider-Man, there's two things. There's mandatory Spider-Man character traits versus the Peter Parker character traits. And the mandatory Spider-Man character traits are Spider-Man, whether Peter Parker or an alternative Spider-Man character, these are traits that he must strictly conform to. Those mandatory Spider-Man traits are male, which Spider-Man breaks, like, quickly. but male, does not torture. And then there's, like, a little asterisk. And then does not kill unless in self-defense or others. And then another little asterisk. Does not use foul language beyond PG-13. No asterisk. Does not smoke tobacco. Asterisk. Does not sell / destroy... The asterisk? We are looking at really grainy screenshots from the leak of this, because I guess I couldn't be bothered to find the original. Or WikiLeaks doesn't have it anymore. Whatever it was, I don't think I dug deep enough to find it exactly. So these are just asterisks with no way to figure out what they mean.
But
context.
What are the circumstantials for does not smoke tobacco? Like, what is the sidebar? The exception?
After that, there is still does not abuse alcohol, asterisk. Does not have sex before the age of 16. Does not have sex with anyone below the age of 16. And then the last one is not a homosexual, parentheses, unless Marvel has portrayed that alter ego as a homosexual, end parentheses.
Again, doesn't say anything about bisexuality.
Yeah, it's very specific, so that does leave a little bit of a leeway in there for it. Which is, it's still just funny that I have no idea what are the exceptions to Spider-Man being allowed to torture, kill, smoke tobacco, sell drugs, and drink alcohol. Abuse alcohol.
I don't know.
Whatever it is. I'm sure it's interesting.
But I want to know. I want to make that my life goal. I want to know what that asterisk means.
Yeah. So, I was going to say something about the Spider-Man themes. Because I think, relating back to the whole Spider-Man theme of being an everyman or the underdog and trying to fight against things, is that so much so the character of Peter Parker is that everything in his life goes wrong a lot. And then he kind of has to deal with it. But he's fundamentally a good dude. And he always wants to fix things. So he always puts the mask on and gets back out there saving people. Maybe his girlfriend breaks up with them. He still goes out there and saves people.
Yeah.
Maybe he can't make rent this month because he's not selling good enough photos. I don't know. Things like that. Like, it's Spider-Man, like, consistently just kind of getting dunked on by life.
For a second I forgot that Peter Parker takes pictures, and I was like, what photos?
Yeah.
Like, that's a whole other conversation that I don't know if I'm prepared to talk about right now.
I guess it is weird because the Tom Holland Spider-Man doesn't really take a lot of photos, I guess.
Selfies?
I guess, but he more is like the scientist Peter Parker than he is the photographer Peter Parker. But I guess the other main thing for Peter Parker is that I always think of him as being the, like, you know, photographer taking pictures of themselves to sell money to get money for rent.
Yeah.
Because there's J. Jonah Jameson who hates him. And he's like, okay, maybe he hates me, but he'll buy these photos, so at least he's paying my rent.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I think also talking about, like, the importance of Spider-Man and, like, his kind of character arc as everyman.
Yeah.
Also breaking from that toxic masculinity and how he is kind of depicted as more secure in his masculinity and not needing to prove it.
Or at least the way he is shown to be masculine is less to the extent of toxic masculinity or to the extent of a male power fantasy that the other, like, most other male superheroes are shown as.
And I was kind of thinking about other images that I personally associate with spiders in general, and how the spider is a very, I feel like, feminized for some reason.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
So I think, you know, to a certain extent, Spider-Man is drawn away from, or is kind of created to be less masculine, just solely by the imagery that we see. I mean, we see... Because
most of the other, I think, characters that would be associated with spiders and arachnids are, like, Black Widow or Spider-Woman. But, like, most of the other, like, female characters.
And even outside of, like, the superhero world, we, like, you know, Kiss of the Spider-Woman is, like, a very, you know, it was a movie and the whole concept was, like, this... you know, manipulative woman and how much like a spider she
and
can be.
Like the idea of manipulation in general is very like kind of associated with women.
So, I mean, that was an interesting thing to me of like that imagery of the skinnier legs and the kind of more dainty, like silent but deadly.
There are some other various bug superheroes that are guys, but they're like the Blue Beetle and they're not exactly spiders.
So I feel like that, like that delicate spider, like, I mean, just the feeling of like spider legs crawling on you feels feels more like, I don't know, to me I get the sensation of like a like acrylic nails.
Okay, are you saying that Spider-Man wears acrylic nails when he's in costume?
I want him to. That would make his job a little bit harder, but like that would be perfect.
Spider-Man climbing up the walls like
stunning.
Acrylic nails sounds
stunning.
Yeah, that's me trying to make acrylic nails digging into the wall sounds.
I didn't know that that was a sound that they could make. I feel like that sound is like ow, 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 ow.
He's got strong hands.
He's got strong hands. He's got sticky hands. He doesn't claw his way up.
I'm imagining something. I'm creating a soundscape for you, and you're ruining it.
I'm so sorry. But that that idea of like, and also the fact that originally he wasn't in the Avengers movie, but now he is.
Yeah, he, like I said, he was such a big character for Marvel, and they kind of had to lay off him for a while because they let go of, you know, Andrew Garfield, and then they, when they were already into actually starting Marvel, plus, like I said, they didn't actually get the rights to Spider-Man himself, because Sony still had it for years after it. So Sony was still trying to do Spider-Man at the same time they were doing Marvel. And then by the time they actually get to him, they're like, well, we can't do what they've done.
Yeah. Well, I think also, Spider-Man was such a popular character.
Yeah.
But he wasn't... Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but theoretically, Spider-Man could have been in the Avengers, correct? Like, rights-wise?
I don't think so. Not the original Avengers. I think that would have been in the time, because I think Avengers came out in 2012, and by then they had not come out with Spider-Man 2, The Amazing Spider-Man 2, I believe.
Gotcha.
Let me, I'm going to quick double check that.
Okay, then I'll make an argument in case that is true. So, in the case of...
Yeah, Amazing Spider-Man 2 came out in 2014.
Never mind. Continue. Continuing on. Rolling forward in our analysis.
Yeah, because that, yeah, that was the whole, that they didn't have him yet. They were still trying to do it. Because now Marvel has the rights to Spider-Man, and Sony has the rights to everybody else associated with the Spider-Man franchise.
Stunning.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay.
Yeah, so... what was it? You were saying the whole not quite into, like, he's always been to the left of normal masculinity or full size.
Yeah.
There's another quote that we had from Andrew Garfield, kind of related to that, about, like, how, you know, which I think he kind of sums it up pretty well, that there's, like, the whole outcast version. Mm-hmm. Peter Parker's always been an outcast, and what are the reasons for him to be an outcast now, and if he's not... playing, if the character he plays wouldn't be an actual outcast in our world today. So the quote is actually, he represents the everyman, but he represents the underdog and those marginalized who come up against great prejudice, which I, as a middle-class straight white man, don't really understand much, so much. And when Stan Lee first wrote and created this character, the outcast was the computer nerd, was the science nerd, was the guy that couldn't get the girl. Those guys now run the world, so how much of an outcast is that version of Peter Parker anymore? That's my question.
I mean, that's a really good point.
Yeah. Because, like I said, he's always been an outcast. He's always had life thrown against him. So if he's kind of, like, related to marginalized struggles, why wouldn't it make sense for him to be an actual marginalized person?
Yeah, he has the job my parents wish I had. Like, my parents wish I wasn't an actor and wish I was doing, like, tech or, like, a doctor.
It's like, in this world today, if he was the super smart science guy, then he's gonna get the girl.
He's fine. He's got money.
He's gonna do good.
Yeah, he's set up. But, I mean, yeah.
Get that engineering degree, get out there into the world, find yourself a nice cushy job.
Come on, you better work.
Yeah. Now he's, like... They kind of put it off a little bit. It's not with the intention of making him seem marginalized, but they do play around with less of the super sciencey smart person when they have Miles Morales in Spider-Verse and more of these an artsy kind of dude.
But, you know, here's the thing. I struggle with an issue with that because I think on one hand, it is important to, like, have that variation of, like, Andrew Garfield said it perfectly. Now the people who are nerdy and sciencey run the world. But also to take away that nerdy and sciencey aspect from a character who is now being portrayed or who's now being depicted as a person of color. To kind of say, okay, we're making Spider-Man or a version of Spider-Man a person of color, but we're also going to take away the intellect and add in graffiti art. Which I feel like it just feels so...
Well, it's... I feel like it didn't come across as... bad in Spider-Verse. Full disclosure, we are two white people talking about this topic.
Yeah.
So if we say something wrong, call us out on it.
Yeah, please.
And recognize that obviously we are probably not the most informed people to be talking about it.
Definitely not.
But I would say that it was handled well in there because it seemed more like a tie to his uncle and like more a black community side of things than it was a whole
creating a culture.
He was still definitely portrayed as a smart student. There's like a short scene in it, I'm sure you remember, where he gets exactly all 50% of the all of the questions wrong on his test, and the only way he could have done it is if he knew all of the right answers in the first place.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
So he's not like he's portrayed as not being smart. He still somehow figures out his way around, you know, web fluid and the sciencey aspects of it. As it is that it's not as much of an emphasized point of his character, I guess.
Yeah, that's true as well. I mean, I do think it's just such a tricky topic.
Yeah.
Because, I mean...
Because it is incredibly important to put in that representation and make it worthwhile and accurate representation, but you also want to make sure you're not falling into stereotypes by removing any aspects of a character or adding aspects to a character that wouldn't make sense.
Even though those aspects may not be applicable today.
Yeah.
It just, I mean, I think it's totally about the way you interpret it, which I think is why art is so subjective in general.
Yeah. Like, for example, if you had him be the gay character, but if you made Spider-Man a gay character in general now, then you could probably easily fall into a trope of some kind without knowing it, and you would want to make sure that you're handling the character well. But I feel like as long as you're creating a nuanced character, even if you're adding tropes into something that would be in line with it, it's the way you actually depict it as like a realistic human being that helps that.
And some movies and some pieces of art will add in tropes specifically to point out the use of those tropes.
Yes. I think that, I know you mentioned a horror movie earlier, but I feel like horror as a genre falls very well into that kind of category. When it's done well.
When it's done well, definitely.
When it's done badly, it does not apply as well.
Ooh, when it's done badly, it's funny.
When it's done badly, it's less horror and more a funny movie. But when it's done well, then horror can be a good way to take tropes and kind of explore them in ways relating to characters.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that we have, at this point, covered most of the things that we were thinking of talking about. And, well, I mean, we could probably go off on another tangent or a little bit
we
more.
We could definitely go off on another tangent.
But
I'm really good
at
those.
I feel like we have kind of done this in general. I think that if you had to take anything from us doing two superhero ones in the row, both of which are kind of in line with Marvel properties, it should be Marvel, please put gay characters in your films.
Yeah.
And we'll stop asking you to. No, we won't.
No.
You're right, we won't. But
just don't stop putting them in the films.
I won't kill you for it. you know?
Yeah.
I will not come to your house and murder you if you don't stop putting... You gotta put in gay characters. Please, you just gotta.
Yeah.
It'll
broaden... Here's my argument for it, right?
Okay.
Your
argument for what?
Here's my topical argument.
For adding
gay characters to Marvel movies. Marvel, if you're listening, I know you are. If you're listening to me talking about why you should add,
if you're listening to our guest host who's appearing for this
for the first time
on this podcast,
yeah,
I at Elon University.
At Elon University. I know you're out there. I know you're listening.
I know you're, yeah. I know you heard Marvel and you searched Marvel on podcasts and you went, we got to see what the people are talking about us.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Here's our input. Here's our opinion.
Here's my gay opinion. All right. As a gay man, if you tell me there's going to be a buff guy who's gay on screen, you better believe I am buying tickets.
Yeah. Look, okay, full disclosure, I stopped seeing Marvel movies because I just didn't like them anymore because they were boring and they made my head hurt and I walked out with headaches every time.
Yeah.
That's less the you, that's more the lights, but it's still a thing that happens. But I think I would have less headaches if there were gay characters in Marvel and I had something to distract myself.
Or it'd make it worth it. It would make the headaches worth it.
It would.
But also my heart is full.
Yeah. Yeah, because right now I'm just like, okay. Same as always.
Yeah, it's a trope at this point.
Yeah. The fact that there are no gay characters is the new trope.
The trope, yeah.
So no gay character superhero team.
Oh, God. Why? Why?
Yeah.
I mean, I just feel like it's such an easy market.
Yeah, because I understand that
like,
the
we're
whole
so desperate
reason,
at this point. Like, yeah, if it's a shitty movie, we'll still watch it. If we know it's
we
a bad movie.
That out.
Oh, damn. If it's a bad movie, we'll still watch it.
Even if we know
it's a bad movie.
I might not see it in theaters, but I'll probably still watch it. I did surreptitiously tell people that they shouldn't give money to Disney when they watched Marvel, Captain Marvel last time, but I didn't recommend it. But like I said, Marvel is Disney and all that stuff is all under the same umbrella now, so I have mixed feelings about all of it. But, you know, I will watch your movie. I will badmouth you less on social media if you make me watch a gay character on big screen.
Yeah.
I just want to see Peter Parker kiss a man, and this is what you have to say to me. You say, I deserve no rights. You say, no, you're going to buy $15 tickets to see our movies, and you're not even going to see a gay person for it.
It's like in Beauty and the Beast when they were like, what's his name?
LeFou.
When they were like, LeFou is gay, and then there was like this one like flirty comment he made, and we were like, why did you do this to us?
You can't trust Disney, man. I know some people have been, they're appealing to censorship laws in places like that, but honestly,
they still took it out anyway.
Yeah, things are going to be censored regardless. That doesn't mean you shouldn't just make the movie you wanted to make in the first place.
Yeah.
Or people wanted you to make, maybe not you, because I would say that a lot of the issue is just that so many of the movies are made purely as what's the best method to make a profit here?
That's true.
What storyline is going to make the most people want to see it, I guess.
But you know what? Here's the thing is that I feel like gay people won't hate watch a straight movie, but straight people might hate watch a gay movie. So you're making money either way, I feel like.
Maybe.
Or you're making money. You're appealing to a bigger audience.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to be like, there's a straight character in this movie. I'm going to watch it to hate on it because I'm like, that's every movie.
Yeah. Well, I feel like the thing is that they can feel like they can get away with right now is they can make a movie that is purely straight characters. And then they have enough of a gay fan base that they can count on them to make fan works for it. Because outside of a piece's canon, people will still create media for it on their own time.
Like this.
I guess, yeah.
Case in point.
Us, right now. But we're doing it with the eye, the critical eye, in this case.
Yes.
So, which is still us giving them attention, I guess. So if we wanted to ignore them until they went away, we're doing the wrong thing, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's still in line with the, what was I going to say? Oh, no. This happens all the time. I'm thinking. I'll probably cut out the whole pause. Don't worry.
It's fine. I figured, I was like, I feel like I can't fill this time.
No, there was like an actual thing I was going to say, and now it's gone.
What were we just talking about? We were just talking about giving it attention.
Giving it attention, and before that, I'm talking about giving them money? No, it was after that. I feel like gay people will go see straight movies and create fan works for it in line with it, because for so long we've been pushed to a space where the only space where we can see ourselves is in fan interpretations of already existing works.
That we've created for each other.
Yeah. So, the same time, it doesn't mean that there isn't, of course, a pressure on people to create actual canon gay, yeah, like trans characters or queer characters in general. It just means that the actual, like, proportion of that, mm-hmm, means that things with such a high status as Disney and Marvel,
yeah,
and Marvel movies made under Disney, etc., but can get away with that because they already know they'll keep that fan base in a way.
Right. That's
so
true.
I feel like that's like, we're still going to get their tickets anyway, so why would we actually put a gay character in there?
Yeah. So,
I wish that it was the other way around, but I just don't actually think that that's how it's seen. Because, yeah, I feel like it's more likely for straight people to boycott a movie because it has a gay character than it is for gay people to boycott a movie because it only has straight characters.
That's true.
Yeah.
But that's also just because movies with straight characters are the norm.
Yeah, that's how every movie is.
And if we did that, we wouldn't see any movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, I like movies.
Yeah. I'm getting a degree in movies. I should probably watch some of them.
But even if they do have those nasty gay characters or nasty straight characters. Oh, wow. I was just homophobic.
It's okay. But the idea of just actually adding a gay character into Marvel movies,
right,
comes with that idea of, we know we'll be excluding one audience when, as long as we do nothing, we keep all of our audiences.
I hate it.
And there has been backlash in enough small ways that they've gotten to the point where they can have, like, character kiss, yeah, on screen for 2 seconds kind of thing. Right. But it's still just so frustrating that we've gotten into a new decade. It's 2020! And
Happy New Year!
We've had over a decade of Marvel superhero movies without a single gay character.
Yeah. It's come back for the next episode on how to boycott straight movies.
Yeah, maybe our next episode we just won't do movies. We'll take a break or something. Maybe, yeah, Trinity and I will do a book or some nice light.
You should do
reading.
A video game.
But I have some ideas for video games. I don't know if it's appropriate to talk about them at the moment, because I don't want to spoil any future topics. But I enjoy video games, and I have many that might go in there.
Well, if you're
so
interested in that,
that's a
keep your eye out.
Yeah, keep your eye out. We've done all entirely movies so far up until this point. We mentioned comics a little bit with Captain Marvel, but this one we've taken more of a equilateral look at both the comics and the fact that,
yeah,
there have been, you know, what's it, 7 movies so far? 3
yeah,
different actors over the course of 7 movies? Like,
wow,
7 main movies, because Tom Holland's been in more movies than his 2 main ones, of course.
Yeah.
So, even more if we're counting the other ones he's been,
yeah,
in.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was enough movies that, I'm going to be honest with you, we did not sit down and watch them.
No.
Before this. We didn't sit down and read comics, nothing. We just did our,
yeah,
research, and we took what we remembered.
Yeah.
But
so,
as long as we go into that, maybe we'll move away from movies. We haven't, TV shows, there's usually enough in them that it's hard to kind of go, okay, we're going to analyze, you know, 5 seasons or even, you know, 2 seasons of something. But,
yeah,
you know, there's 20 episodes in each season kind of thing.
I feel like you'd have to do that by month basis, though.
Yeah. So in the future, we will probably look to doing more TV shows and other more extended forms of media. So things like video games and books outside actual movies and just purely the audiovisual mediums that we've done so far for,
yeah,
a podcast, at least.
And Trinity will be back with her amazing brain as opposed,
yes,
to me with my...
I mean, no offense to you.
No, that makes... I'm like, I'm ready to be here with Trinity.
Yeah. Oh, we miss Trinity. She's...
Trinity, oh, wow, come back. I know you're listening. Come back.
Trinity, come back. This will be posted on a Monday, so hopefully she'll listen to it then. On the way back. She'll
on the way,
put it
on the bus back?
I think it's a bus.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I mean, the final question, would we recommend this?
Yeah, would we recommend Spider-Man, the man, the myth, the legend, the character?
Look, all I'm saying is that if I saw him on the street, I would recommend it.
If I saw him on the street, I would look, I would turn to my friends and I would go, do you think that guy's gay? And they,
yeah,
would turn and look and go, he has the cuffed pants. And,
yeah,
like,
the striped socks.
Yeah, he has.
I feel like.
He could just be an art student, though. I don't know. It's up in the air.
He's got the brown leather bag.
With our life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, of the movies that I've seen, I feel like Spider-Verse was probably...
Spider-Verse is the best Spider-Man movie that's ever been made. I feel confident saying that Spider-Verse has been the best superhero movie that has ever been made.
It just filled It filled a void
in my heart.
I didn't know I had.
Literally.
Until I saw it. And then I was like, oh, that's what I was missing.
I'm not going to lie. I literally saw that movie, I think, 5 times in theaters.
And you're going to find it something new in it every single time because it's so dense.
I saw it in theaters once at home. And then we went to see Wreck-It Ralph 2. And they lost our tickets. They accidentally filled up the movie theater, even though we bought our tickets online. So they went, do you guys want to see something else? We'll give you free tickets to something. So my family went to see Bumblebee, and I said, bye, guys. I'm going to go see Spider-Verse again. I went to Spider-Verse again.
That's,
And then I saw it when they showed it on campus here, and then I'm pretty sure I've seen it, like, twice more when I went, like, hey, to my friends, do you guys want to go see Spider-Verse with me? It's really good. And so I'm pretty sure I saw it in theaters, like, 5 times, and then I've seen it at least once more, like, on Netflix since it came out on Netflix.
It's on Netflix?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
I have to watch that.
I know.
When I have time.
That's not that long a movie.
I know, but I have too many things.
I have so much to do. But yeah, the Spider-Verse is the best Spider-Man movie, and it has so many Spider-Men in it that you will be satisfied for most of the Spider-Man for the rest of your life. The only Spider-Man it doesn't have in it is bisexual Spider-Man.
We can't prove that.
That's true. We have Miles Morales Spider-Man, the first ever half-black, half-Latino Spider-Man. And we also have Kimiko Glenn, a Japanese-American psychic spider girl. And we have one of the Gwen Stacy's spider women.
Yeah,
I'm not entirely sure which spider name she goes by in the comics or in that one. And we also have, like, the detective Spider-Man.
I don't think that's his name,
but he's one of the Spider-Men. Peter Parker's the Nicolas Cage
one.
We've
got Pig Spider-Man, Spider-Pig. John Mulaney.
If John Mulaney can voice the talking pig, I think Spider-Man can be bisexual.
And that's on Spider-Man.
That's it.
So go see Spider-Verse.
Watch Spider-Verse. We're not even a year late, honestly. Like, it may seem like this is coming out over a year after Spider-Verse came out.
It does feel like
that. But you know what? Because it won an Oscar last year, and the Oscars are coming up again this February. But, you know, it's not too late to see Spider-Verse again, or for the first time, or for the 10th time. Just go watch it again. Yeah.
Stop what you're doing right now. I know, because we already mentioned that you were watching something.
Yeah.
So stop watching what you're watching now.
Yeah, we just told you to watch something. So if you've been watching something, you can stop watching that. Unless you were already watching Spider-Verse, in which case, keep going.
Continue watching Spider-Verse.
Keep going. Yeah, don't start it over. You're already part of the way through it. Yeah.
Finish it and then start it again.
Yeah.
Like, maybe next week. Like, give yourself some time to process.
Yeah, you gotta take some time to process.
And then start it again.
Mm-hmm. Listen to the soundtrack a few times, and then go back. Yeah.
Well, that's that on that.
That's that on Spider-Man. Would we recommend Spider-Man? In my gay opinion, Yeah,
I would say so.
Yeah. If I was walking with one of my gay friends, then he was like, should I go over there? I would be like, go for it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Do we do an outro? Is that what we do now?
We don't have an outro.
Goodbye.
Bye.